London's LBC 97.3. 0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott.
His fat little fingers play over the keyboards. We're off. Can you hear me? Have you got the right mic on? You're looking worried already. We haven't even started yet.
Staff cleaner, please. Staff cleaner to the King's Road.
It is filthy down there. Good. It looks like they've taken all of the rubbish that they collected at Glastonbury last year and dumped it on the King's Road. Has there been any celebrations? And that was at the wrong end of King's Road. I didn't go up to Sloane Square. Presumably football doesn't get to Sloane Square. They were beaten back by Trustafarians with their trousers belted around their knees. Seriously, you kids have got to stop doing that. You look ridiculous. You look, first of all, it makes you look like your bottoms have been sawn off and your legs are about a foot long. It's just daft. Here we go. Why in the first flush of your sexual youth would you want to make it look like you have some sort of bodily problem? And furthermore, a smooth down there like an action man. Weird. But worse than the blokes, much worse, are the women. Hey, Lucy, would you do me a favour and stand up, please? You look fantastic. I can't hear you.
Oh, thank you.
You are not guilty. You may sit down.
Thank you.
However, approximately 100% of the other women in this town are guilty. And when I say women, I don't mean actual grown-ups. I mean girls. Oh, you can't walk 5 yards without seeing some girl, all of which are overweight. I mean, I know we've got a problem with that, but if you are in any way overweight, if you can pinch more than an inch, be honest, don't dress like the girls are dressing in London right now. They're dressing with jeans that don't come up very high. They're called low slung. What are they called? Low slung jeans?
Low slung hipsters.
Hipsters, yeah. Is the correct answer. And teamed with, and this is a match made in hell right here. Hipsters, low slung jeans, teamed with tops that are cropped short. Crop tops and low slung jeans. Result? This explosion of white fat between the two. Coupled with, whenever they sit down or bend down, gigantic, not even the Grand Canyon is that big. Huge, this donut ring of no confidence. How can you go out like that? Don't you possess mirrors? Somebody should give them, two mirrors so they can see what they look like from behind. People are passing out in their wake. It's appalling. It really. If you were a teenage girl and you were a little bit overweight, wouldn't you want to cover that up? I mean, wouldn't you be just? Wouldn't you, as a teenager, not even want to leave the flat? I'm sorry, we're talking about Chelsea, the house. I am stunned on an almost minute by minute basis because there's no end of them. This is just bursting out because the trousers are tight and the tops are tight, but your bodies aren't. Now, I'm not some kind of body fascist. I don't care. It's just that I won't thrust my flesh in your face if you don't thrust yours in mine. How's that? We'll make a deal. The King's Road. Seriously, someone's got a heck of a job there because at the wrong end of King's Road, you can't see the road for rubbish. It's just incredible. But they're all dispersed. Maybe they're all, like, passed out. Maybe the rubbish came through and took the people first and left the rubbish on the road. Anyway, this is LBC 97.3. I'm Nick Abbott. For 5 days only, spread out on a weekly basis. Today and tomorrow, and then Saturdays in May. Shall we get ready and, how does it go? Talk back, person on air.
Root,
yeah?
Person,
oh,
place.
Root, person, place. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Nick.
How are you?
Hey, Nick. I was going through Chester City Centre the other week after you spoke about this, and guess what I saw?
Lord Lucan.
No. Some child walking along with their underpants showing, hanging down. What did you call it? Hip hop.
Hip hop hipsters, yeah.
Yeah, it looked absolutely. But it was look. A bit funny as well, I thought.
I saw a guy shopping in Sainsbury's a little while ago. He had his trousers, he had no shirt on,
yeah.
And his trousers were belted underneath his bottom. In other words, his entire underwear was on show. He was shopping in the food section.
Oh, grief. Anyway, that's not why I rang you.
I don't get that. I mean, how can you... I don't understand that. I mean, I know that kids dress in order to upset their elders. But we used to, in my day, it were grand. We used to dress in a provocatively sexual way in order to upset our elders. But kids, I don't know, I guess the women thing is, but it's not provocatively sexual. Girls with gigantic bursts of flesh out of their middles, that's not sexual, that's just repellent.
I have to agree with you there. But I actually...
But you see, everybody wants to be Britney, so all girls want to be Britney Spears. No, further than that, they want to be, strippers, pole dancers. They want to be, Jordan, or whatever, yeah, Jordan. They want to look like prostitutes, basically, is what it is, right?
But they haven't got the body...
Exactly, they haven't got the body for it. I mean, it can look fantastic. See Britney Spears in her first video, right?
But what I actually wanted to ring you about...
Oh, this wasn't it?
No, I thought that was just funny there. I sent you an email about radio, Roger Scott. Do you remember?
Oh, that was you, yeah. Yeah. At the other place, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you speaking, the other week, but this woman rang up and she wanted to be a radio presenter and she had this really northern accent.
Yes.
And you tried to persuade her against it.
Yeah, I bet I didn't succeed at all.
And I thought to myself, is radio dying? You know, because I remember back to... You remember I spoke to you about 1966?
Oh, yeah, that was you. Mm-hmm. You've been on hold ever since.
Yeah, Roger Scott, Kenny Everett, Nicky Horn, all on Capital Radio.
Yeah, well, Nicky Horn's not dead.
No, I know he's not dead.
lumping him in with a lot of dead people. He's not dead yet.
I know, but you had really interesting days of radio, like the United Network Biscuits factory.
Yeah, close.
But I really wish I could find something about that, so some clips or something.
Oh, you want a biscuit network? Why?
Because
and here's one going out for the women in the jam roly-poly section.
Because it sounded really interesting, the birth of radio.
Oh, come off it, mate. You're in a period now which is more exciting for communications than any in which man has lived. How can you... It sounds like you're giving up on life.
But didn't you say that you thought to this lady, you said that in a few years you thought radio DJs were going to be...
Yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that great? We should be hanging out the bunting.
Well, at work, all they listen to a lot of the time is this new digital radio station.
Yeah.
Where they don't have any DJs.
Right.
They play the music.
Yes.
But then we wouldn't discover people like you.
Listen, very shortly there won't be... Well, there'll be talk show hosts, but there won't be DJs. Well, let's not go over this ground again, but very shortly, in brief, there won't be any DJs. It'll just be music, because kids now... teenagers now are used to listening to music on their iPods, where there are no DJs and weather and news and, you know, all that,
yeah.
All that stuff, where every time you have a focus group, and radio stations do nothing but have focus groups, the number one question that they'll ask is, what don't you like? And the number one thing they always say is...
People. All
the bits in the middle of the music, the DJs and the adverts, and we don't like any of that stuff. So if you cut all that out, which of course millions of internet radio stations are doing now, and kids and your iPod cuts all that out, and you know, you can download everything for free or pay for it, whichever, the result is the same.
Well,
so they get used to listening to radio without all the interruption, or music really, and if the teenagers now are used to that, their children won't want anything but that. So I think, I mean, this is just me. Me saying it isn't going to make it happen. But it's just my personal opinion that the way things are going is music radio is on its way out.
But what's going to make a station distinctive?
It will be talk. The talk format is on the way in. That's the one format that's never really been mined in this country. You go to America,
yeah.
And every major market, by which I mean every big city, the top three or four stations, well, usually there'll be a Spanish station that's number one, and then the two or three after that will be talk stations. In this country, all the big earners, as we've recently learnt in the press, all the big earners are DJs, people who play music, which to me is crazy.
Yeah.
In America, all the big earners are all, without exception, talk show hosts. And when I say big earners, I mean people earning eight-figure salaries. Work that out in your head. That's over 10 million quid for anybody who's just taken A-level maths.
Right, well, I mean, I hope that radio survives this technological revolution anyway. Me personally.
Yeah, it'll survive, but it'll come. Of course, it will survive, but it will be in a much more exciting form than it is now. I mean, what the choice that you have now in London is what, half a dozen stations? Let's be frank. I mean, there's a lot of other satellite stations, little tiny ones here and there that nobody actually listens to or wants. But if your actual choice, especially commercial, half a dozen at the most, right? Which is crazy, because in New York, the very same radio that you listen to British radio on, if you took it to New York, you'd get 90 stations.
Yeah.
Madness. Very soon, and they promised it for Christmas last, so it's going to come, they'll have internet radios, which will pick up radio stations without you having to turn your computer on. It'll just be like a tranny.
Yeah.
Not a transvestite. I have to make that clear.
Yeah.
If you can pick up a radio station on your local tranny, then you really are doing well. But on your transistor radio, that's something else. It'll look like that, but you'll be able to pick up any radio station or internet music service in the whole wide world.
Well, that'd be great.
Exactly. It's not the death of radio, it's the beginning of something much, much better.
Just two really quick points.
Oh, and another thing.
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's just because I listen to you on the internet up here in Chester, but there's something wrong with the output of LBC tonight. It's like someone has put their finger on you as a record and slowed you right down. You can't actually hear you properly. Because I can hear it in the extension now, and it sounds awful. It's like a slow record, basically. So that's for your technical department.
Yeah, okay, they're right on it.
But lastly, the managing director said that you're here to stay until the fourth seat, until he says otherwise. Does that mean you're actually here after May as well?
The managing director
said that? Yeah, on the podcast the other night, he said, because I've sent an email, and somebody else did, saying we enjoyed your show, and we wanted to hear more of you, and he said, Nick Abbott's on Saturday nights, until we say otherwise.
Right. Well, that's news to me. As far as I know, they're saying otherwise at the end of May. Well, but that's all I know. But if he's the managing director, then he would know more than me.
Well, we'll do what they did to Roger Scott in New York, which basically was send loads of letters in saying they wanted him, we'll say we want you, and then you'll be here forever, hopefully.
Right.
I hope.
Okay, well, listen, thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks a lot.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
This is Real Radio, so already I've found out an enormous amount of stuff about my life that I didn't previously know. We're way ahead of where we were only 16 minutes ago.
London's LBC 97.3. 0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott.
Yeah, I was listening to Wendy Lloyd last week. She was doing the food show. Was it last week she talked to that gigantically boobed woman who does all the houses on telly? Sarah Beeny. Has she had a removal? A reduction?
No, she had a baby.
Well, that would make them bigger, wouldn't it? No, that's not possible. No, I'm sure she's had them reduced. Because she used to enter your television screen from stage left minutes before you actually see her face. And she used to intimidate the women on that programme. I think every woman on that programme, you could just see it in their eyes. They hated her. Because she looks great on screen. I mean, she looks, you know, marvellous and kind of mumsy, really. I wonder what she's like off screen, because she seems to rub them up all the wrong way. I wonder if she does that deliberately, just for great television. Because, you know, if everything's going on fine. It's like Kevin MacLeod on the Grand Designs programme, which is inordinately successful. If everything's going fine, he's got no show. And so he has to sort of think up something. Oh, well, you might die of a heart attack. The first one that came back, everything went brilliantly. They had more money than the Catholic Church. And it was going so very well. So he was fumbling around. Well, you might die. He just kept repeating it over and over again. Well, don't forget, you have problems with your heart. Same with Sarah Beeny. If it's all going great, she's got no programme. So I think she may be... this is not my theory. This is not what perhaps she does. This is my theory from watching her programme. I think she probably, perhaps, rubs them up the wrong way off camera, so that when the camera's rolling, they're like seething. Plus, she has the most gigantic boobs ever. And, you know, you've backed me up on this, Lucy. Women don't like other women with gigantic boobs, am I right?
Oh, I don't mind.
Huh?
Well, vaguely jealous, but, you know, nothing...
Come on, what do women think of Pamela Anderson, Jordan, and all of those women?
Oh, but that's not attractive looking, is it? In my eyes. Because they just look like great big balloons.
See?
That's not empty, though.
This microphone baffled, by the way. There's a round circle. You've probably seen this when you see, artists in the studio. They've got a microphone, and this sort of... It looks like an anti-pregnancy device for a giant animal. It's a circle of... fabric, pulled across it. Yeah. That stops you popping on the microphone, right? And it sits right in front of every presenter's mouth who sits here. This one's got food chunks on it. Absolutely. Who sat here last? Food chunks. Actual bits of proper food. I'll flick them off. There you go. You look horrified. All right, let's go with Louise. Hey, Louise.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good. I had another laugh, by the way. Let's do radio presenter, but I'm sure you don't want to go into that again.
You were the person that called me wanted to be a radio presenter.
Yeah.
Right. Did I dissuade you?
No. But I do agree with what you've been saying, definitely.
Okay.
But I'm sure you don't want to go into that again.
No.
Right, you've been talking about the baggy jean thing. They do look absolutely ridiculous, and unfortunately they're, in fashion at the moment.
Well, only for blokes. Only blokes wear baggy jeans. Women wear, spray-on jeans that are so tight that they're tighter than their actual person, and so that the flesh just above the jean bursts out.
Yes.
So it looks like a great white donut of flesh above the jean and beneath the crop top. That is hideous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's even worse. When fat people do it, when skinny people do it, look.
There are no skinny people in this country anymore. Everybody's fat. You know, we would like to think of Americans as a nation of gigantically fat people. let's hold up a mirror to this country. Have we met ourselves?
No, I don't think we have. And women with big boobs don't bother me. So, I don't hate women with big boobs.
And so what do you think about Pamela Anderson and Jordan and all that?
Pamela Anderson and Jordan are pretty, but...
You think they're
Jordan
pretty?
Jordan goes a bit over the top.
I think Jordan is a weird-looking woman. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, whenever I've seen pictures of her, she's kind of like an experiment gone wrong.
Well, I saw her at one of the shopping centres that turned on the Christmas lights. And
now, when you say turned on the Christmas lights...
She looked quite pretty, so...
Huh. Well, you have different standards in Barnsley.
Hey!
Hey!
You're a bit real. Yeah.
So, Barnsley, that's kind of it's very near Leeds, and girls go...
Sheffield and Leeds.
Yeah, girls go out of a night in Leeds when there's snow on the ground in basically bras and panties, don't they, as far as I could see? That's what they go out in. No coat, no jumper, none of that. Well, that's all soft southern stuff.
Yeah. But I love the Southerners. I love LBC. I like listening to you, so, you know.
How's the sound tonight?
It sounds good, actually. I'm listening to you on Sky. It sounds all right.
On Sky? Well, there you are. You see, coming through in crystal clear,
Sky
stereo? There's not much point in us being in stereo, really, is there? For the ads, perhaps. Okay, well, listen, thanks a lot, Louise. And the best of luck with your career. Don't do it. Don't get into radio. Trust me.
Nice talking to you.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
This is LBC, I'm Nick Abbott. I won't bother with the phone number because I'm sure that you know that already. Don't email me, please, because it's a talk show. So, yeah, I drove down the King's Road and it looks like it's such a mess. You virtually need a snowplow just to get down it, which is a foretaste of what is to come. What is it, 6 weeks away now? And this would be like a letter to the Times. Dear sir, I saw my first England flag attached to a car the other day with 6 weeks to go. Is this record? It looked a bit out of place because it was the only one on the street with it. But shortly they all will have it because The sellers are gearing up. The flag of St. George is to become a ubiquitous image as the World Cup approaches, said this article in the, I think it's a Telegraph, from the typeface. Retailers hope to sell more than, guess how many English flags? That's right, 43 million. That's almost one each. And the symbol of the and just after the quarterfinals, they'll all be, like they are on the King's Road, in the gutter, stained with tears. The symbol of the England team will not just be seen on flags, the cross of St. George will be on mugs, slippers, bibs, pyjamas, swimsuits, cheerleading outfits, what? Paper plates, cocktail sticks. How can you get a flag of St. George on a cocktail stick? Well, if a camel can go through the eye of a needle. Suitcases. Hey, I'd like a suitcase with the, arrive in Malaga. Spanish will love you. And even garden gnomes will have them. The total amount spent on World Cup merchandise is predicted to be more than... Hazard a guess?
20?
20 what?
Pounds? I hope it's 2 pence.
1.2 billion. £20? They're not giving this stuff away. The marketing director of Woolworths, Stephen Robertson, said, "We are planning for the biggest sporting event ever in terms of retail sales." I bet they are. I bet you're going to Woolworths. There won't be anything but things with the Union flags on them. No, not Union flags. The Cross of St. George. Local Boys, which is an importer in Woodford Green in Essex, has created England car packs. Ah, they saw a gap in the market and they went for it. This is what you're going to see on cars, virtually everywhere, shortly. They'll have bumper stickers, a tax disc holder, a football-shaped bobble for the aerial, a windscreen banner, satin ribbons, a themed air freshener, and fuzzy red and white dice. That'll be brightening up a roller near you in Chelsea soon. It was a Charles, somebody or other, from a company called MrFlag.com, said this was all a drop in the ocean compared with what we'll see in 2012 for the Olympics. Do you ever wonder where they get the flags from that they burn on the news in places abroad? The forever burning flags. Where do they get them from? I mean, where in the middle of a sandy region would you get an American flag, for instance? Oh, we'll just go to American Flags Arise. They're open 24 hours. The demand is huge. They sell them in packs with lighters. Another one just released a video the other day, and it's always the same. Hang on a sec. Has anybody noticed that whenever one of these people release a video, you know the kind of people that I'm talking about, the people that, you know, from the axis of evil, people that George Bush and Tony Blair are really upset about, every single time you see them, they've always got their finger raised like that. What's that about? Every picture, there's a picture right there. Take a look at that. If only this was television. They've always, always got their finger raised. Like they can't speak without raising their finger. What is that? They don't say it in my headphones, say it on the air. And, you know, perhaps it's like, smell my finger. And for a man that's been living in a cave, I'd rather not. And he's not looking at me, so he didn't see the cue. Cue.
Nick Abbott.
Okay, root person on air. It doesn't... You have to hit this so hard. I mean, I'm gentle with these things because I think, you know, it's modern technology. A screen like that probably costs thousands of pounds, and so I'm gentle with it. But actually, it needs... this show should come with a hammer. Hey, Joe.
Hiya.
What do you know?
Listen, I was listening to you about, not that long ago, when you were saying, like, how willing to see other women...
Joe, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Have you got them? Have you got one of these clip-on microphones that's on your blouse or something?
No, I haven't.
What kind of a phone are you using?
Yeah, by my tune now. No, I haven't.
What kind of a phone are you using?
I'm on a mobile at the moment.
A mobile? Are you, like, rustling the mobile next to you?
No,
what
I'm
are
not.
You doing?
Is it coming through better now?
A little bit better, yeah.
Right, okay. Is it better now?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to pause, and we're going to do a little seminar on how to use the phone, and we'll be back.
Available on DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
Nick Abbott.
0870-9090-973.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, darling. Does it sound better now?
Oh, that is so much better. I can't even put it into words.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
I bet everybody says, hey, Joe, at you all the time.
I'm sorry.
There's nothing to be sorry about. Don't they say, hey, Joe, in a Jimi Hendrix way?
I'm sorry. No, what it was is...
completely ignoring me and carrying on.
I don't understand how women feel about other women, because it's not only men who look at you in that way, it's women, and they perceive you in a certain way if you're well-built.
Yes. What is that way? I'll tell you. Stupid, right?
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
And why do you think that is? I think it's jealousy.
It's not only jealousy. I think some women actually want to show it off, and they show it off in a certain way. You're talking about Jodie Marsh and those sort of people, and yeah, they show it off, and it does look like really bad.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Really bad? Is that true? You know, if you've got it, why don't you...
A bit too much is, you know, when you... You know, I think it's like everyone wants to perceive in a certain way, but if you show too much, then you're going to get people going to look at you in that way.
Yeah, or stoned to death in the wrong country. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but if you're built that way and you dress well and you dress nice, you still can't help the way that you're built, you know, that, you know, well, thank God that he's given me them, you know, but, you know, I'm pretty pleased, actually, you know, I'm thankful, yeah, they've got my babies, which was the main thing, that's what they're there for.
Right,
also,
well...
then I can also dress in a way that I feel comfortable,
yeah.
And it doesn't show too much, but I'm still proud of the way that I am.
Can I ask you a question about this?
Yeah.
When you were a teenager and you were going out, did your dad ever, like, choke on his dinner and say, you're not going out dressed like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's dad's though, isn't it? And that's like dad's and big brother's, but unfortunately, you know, and I've lost quite a few of my family, but it's also in a way that, you know, I appreciated that, but it's... I'm proud of what I am.
So you have a Barbie doll physique with a minute waist and...
I've got an old-fashioned physique, actually. I'm big, I'm small, and I'm big. You know, I've got hips, and I've got boobs, and I've got a waist, and I'm proud of it. I'm not this skinny type of thing that you see airbrushed on photos now, and I'm proud of the way that I look.
Right, all right, Joe. You've got the whole crowd behind you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you, darling.
Tara.
Okay, Nick. Bye bye.
This is LBC 97.3. You're gonna have to help me out, because I've already done 4 hours today. It's a 7-hour day. Who in the history of radio has ever done a 4-hour music show followed by a 3-hour talk show? Is there anyone in the history of radio has done? Oh yeah, me. Yeah, I used to do that all the time, and now I'm doing it again. And because the intensive part comes at the end of the day. Probably start flagging in, what, 5-6 minutes. So, I will give out the number, 0870-9090-973. I've got the game again. It's a brand new, totally refreshed, and completely, new game. Does anyone want to play? The prize is my money. Here's the first one.
You know, like,
he's a genius, isn't he? It's incredible how, he's got so far. So, famous people saying the word, to win my money. You want some? Here's one in, it's a bloke called Robert. Robert.
Robert from the Rhondda.
Hey, how you going?
Hello. I haven't called, for the first time in God knows how many years, I haven't called you recently.
I know, haven't I been lucky?
Yes, but I have very important news of where I was, which will be the subject of this phone call.
Where was you?
I was at a student radio conference in Southampton.
Oh, blimey, I'm amazed that you didn't die of boredom. A student radio conference?
Well, it's a perfect mix, isn't it? Students and alcohol and...
And a conference?
Yes.
About radio? No, that doesn't sound like a perfect mix to me.
Oh, well, probably the radio bit was the least most interesting aspect of it.
The least most?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do English in uni.
Yeah, and you're a communicator.
Yeah, you want to talk like what I do? Sorry.
So what did you learn?
Well, I learned that people from the BBC are idiots.
And so fantastically well paid, it boggles the imagination.
There's a guy, I won't mention his name.
Yeah, what was his name? Don't say it.
I will. So tempting. He stood there, in front of us all, there's about 200 of us, saying how much he hated students, how much he got paid, and the joy to work for the BBC, and how difficult it was to get in, but he had a job for life. It was...
Well, okay, what did he do for the BBC?
He was a producer.
A producer? Oh, well, he does have a job for life, then.
Yeah, he was on a breakfast show, I'll say that.
Okay, a national breakfast show?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that narrows it down to five.
Seven.
Seven? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I suppose so, with digital, yeah.
I guess.
Huh, was it a digital station?
Well, I've been narrowing it down, yes it was.
It was a digital station?
It was a digital one.
Right.
It was one of the more popular digital BBC radio stations.
One of the more popular, that's kind of relative, isn't it?
Okay.
I mean, it's an interesting use of the word popular, not one that I've heard before, but, yeah, okay, I'll play along. Popular, right.
So he was a very horrible person.
Why would he do that? Why would he come and irritate people by flashing his wad?
The thing was, I was there, it was just winding me up, I just wanted to throw something at this guy, and everyone was sitting there laughing. He was abusing us.
Ah, but was he being funny when he was doing it?
No, he was being awful.
Right.
Arrogant, but yeah, that is radio. It is a horrible, horrible industry.
Well, yeah, and there's a good reason why people are arrogant at the BBC, is because, unlike commercial radio, where people aren't using other people's money, they're using their own money.
Yeah.
The BBC, they get a joke, the BBC is an organisation without, where you can act without consequence as a manager, or a producer, or, you know, somebody a higher up. Because anything you do, you don't have to get ratings, and you don't have to even get results. You'll still get the money. And the amount of money that gets poured into each individual programme is just incredible when you come from... Like this programme here, if I was doing this programme right now in the BBC, I wouldn't be able to see the walls for people. I'd be surrounded by people who are just itching to go and get me a coffee, or massage me, or just tell me I'm great, or like fan me. There's just no end of them. I've told this before, but I did a pilot. This was before I was even on the air for a digital station, probably one that you're talking about.
I think it is the one I'm talking about, yeah.
And it was an hour long, and they catered the show, as though it was room service. A man in a uniform pushed a trolley groaning with food and sandwiches and crisps and coffee and tea and cake and... Ooh, tea! The show is being catered. I lied. Thanks, Lucy. Into a programme where you were talking. Of course, you can't eat when you're talking. That's rude. So it remained untouched. And after the hour, the gentleman took away the untouched trolley of food. And another guy pushed a different trolley of food in for the next lot. Can you believe that? I mean, this is not even on the air. So can you imagine what they do when you're on the air? I said to one of them, who were just standing around, not doing anything, and looking idle. I thought, well, you know, they're being paid, they look bored, so I'll ask her to get me a coffee.
I doubt they probably were getting paid. I said to the BBC, to get in, you don't get paid.
That's absolute nonsense. Of course you do.
No, you don't. I've been doing it. I've done so much work experience for the BBC, I haven't not seen a penny. And
a work experience? Right. Well, these weren't work experience people, these were actual employees. So I said, can I have a coffee? And and there was a fully functioning, rather rich-looking cafe. They just put a, like, Starbucks on each floor, which, of course, nobody touched, because you don't need to, because you ask someone to get you a coffee, and they will bypass the cafe that's sitting there, gleaming, on the floor, just 10 yards away, and they'll go outside the building to go and get a named brand coffee. And doesn't matter what you want, they will cross town to get it. And they won't ask you for any money, because it's in the budget. The BBC will pay for someone to go out and get you a Starbucks coffee.
And this
if you really want to drink that stuff, I can't bear it. I mean, Starbucks, how in God's name did they become so successful? That's not controversial to say, is it? Why would anybody drink there twice? I don't get it.
Very expensive.
It's expensive, but it's... I mean, I don't mind expensive if it's great.
The BBC...
I mean, does Starbucks... have they dared to open a shop in Italy, for instance? I doubt it.
It's part of coffee culture.
They'd be everyone, laughed out of the boot.
Everyone lives in flats in the inner city and has a coffee and, you know, lives the friend's lifestyle for now. So it all goes bust.
You sound depressed.
I am depressed.
Well, you've just been to a student radio conference. Of course you are.
Oh, that was 2 weeks ago. No, I'm doing an essay on... I'm just doing an essay now and it's depressing me.
On?
On, is liberalism the best ideology?
Yes.
Well,
or no.
If anybody knows anything about classical liberal interpretation of democracy...
You don't need to know anything. Just Google it and then copy and paste.
There's nothing on
job,
Google.
Job done.
Useless. Absolutely useless.
Actually, Google does irritate me a lot, because you put something in Google and it'll come up with 10 million results, none of which have got anything to do with what you asked it for.
I did type in that woman you were talking about.
What woman?
One with a large...
Oh, Sarah Beeny.
Yeah. There's a lot of websites to order this.
I bet there are, yeah. Many of which you have to pay to get into. Yeah. Have your credit card ready. Yes.
Frank Holmes, get your citizen.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to bring in a list of the emails that I get just tonight. Because when I open my email account tomorrow at home, I will have approximately 50 emails, none of which are addressed to me personally, but they're just filling in my up my email box, with the most vile sexual subjects you could possibly imagine. And I'm thinking, if my parents were on the internet, if they knew how to work it and call it anything other than the wireless. To my dad, anything that works with electricity is the wireless, regardless of what it does. But if they had any idea how to get under there, I'm sure they'd probably die of shock with the manner of emails that they get. I'm appalled.
Well, it's not just the internet anymore. I was watching Channel 4 the other day, and they had shocking pornography season, I think it was called.
Channel 4, yeah, your public service broadcaster. How do they get away with it?
Oh, I'd rather than to the BBC any day.
What's the first thing that comes into your mind when I say, what programme is... It sounds like you've got mail.
No, that was an MSN. my housemate chatting to me.
Your housemate?
Yeah, he's my housemate, but I'm not on university at the moment, so I'm back home.
Right. It's not that you're talking via your computer with somebody who's next door.
That does happen.
Right.
I have lots of conversations with everyone I live with through the computer. It's ridiculous.
That is mad. and businesses are like that as well. There's two people whose desks will be touching will converse to each other by email. That's insane.
It's true, but...
We've completely lost the ability or desire to actually talk to people now. It's like we're permanently living in the lift. You know, we don't want to make eye contact, and we certainly don't want to talk to strangers in the lift or on the train, or in fact just in London.
In case we get stabbed.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
What were you going to say? What's the first thing that comes... I like playing these games. What's the first thing that comes into my head if you say...
What's the first program that comes into your head? I'll say, Channel 4.
Big Brother.
Big Brother.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, but I argue this with people, if you take Big Brother out of the equation...
Then it'll be another stupid reality programme.
They don't have any others, as far as I'm aware of.
Oh, rubbish. somebody get me a paper. I bet that the entire week is stuffed with stupid reality programmes on Channel 4. They've got nothing but that. How is that as public service broadcaster? I'm confused.
Well, if you look at the BBC, I mean, look at the tripe they have on tonight. I mean, that's Strictly Dancing with Graham Bloody Norton.
Oh, you haven't heard it? Graham Norton came out the other day and said that he's really upset that he's being shoehorned into being camp. What?
So was Frankie Howard.
Frankie Howard was with John Wayne compared with Graham Norton. How is Graham Norton... I can't understand how he'd have the cheek to even say that. Oh, he's really upset because those nasty people at the BBC are forcing him to be camp. Graham Norton.
The BBC seems to have a monopoly on annoying presenters at the moment.
Well, they seem to buy everybody. That as soon as somebody's successful on another channel, rather than think up a new format or train presenters, they'll just go and buy somebody else. Because, like I said before, it's not their money. They don't care how much it costs.
Yeah, and they'll give it all to Martin Ross, etc.
Yeah, and I used to tell people, because I just guessed off the top of my head how much he earned per show, and people would look at me like I'm an idiot. Of course he doesn't get that much, because I would say, I reckon he'd get about 10 grand a show. I'll just pause to let that sink in.
10 grand a show?
Because when they reported all this in the newspapers, they reported it per minute, per year, and then per minute.
Yeah.
Neither of which sounds like a gigantic amount of money, because, you know, once you get over £1 million, then it all becomes funny money, and you can't conceive of how much it is, right? So it didn't actually sink in quite how much it was, and per minute it breaks it down into a relatively small amount, so it didn't hit you in the face. £10,000 a show. Pause to let that sink in. And people looked at me like I was a fool. Of course he doesn't. How on earth would he get £10,000 a show? Ridiculous, they'd say. He does. It's right there in black and white, apparently.
I've heard cases in commercial radio where people get £9,000 a year.
Yeah, me. Yeah. £9,000 a year. Oh, luxury £9,000 a year. I dream of £9,000 a year.
People automatically think because you're on the radio or TV, you're getting paid a fortune. And if you're the BBC, you probably are. But,
well, yeah,
you know,
that's right.
But commercial, I mean...
I'm interested to know how much they're paying the people on digital radio. You know, the radio stations that no one listens to.
Quite a lot there as well. A
gigantic amount, yeah. I bet the breakfast show people, I bet the producer, the presenter... who works with the producer that was talking to your conference, I bet that presenter is on at least £2,000 a show. No one listens.
That person came because they do a tour of student radio stations.
Right.
And do live. They came to my station.
You're narrowing it down.
Nobody listens. They came to Extreme in Swansea.
Right.
And I watched that man eat. Oh, my God. First thing in the morning, bloody hell.
Steady. Anyway, listen, I've got to go, Robert, because we're past the ads. Cheers, mate. Ta-ra.
Toodaloo.
But you know why they pay them that much money? Have a guess. Don't shake your head at me. It doesn't work on radio. We're not on TV, woman. Shaking your head.
I don't know.
I can't hear you.
Can't you hear me now?
This is like in the army. I can hear you!
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better. The reason why, this is my theory, the reason why, because no commercial radio station would pay anybody £10,000 a show, would they? So it's not like they're trying to fight, wrest him away from commercial radio, would they? Name me a commercial station that would pay anyone £10,000 a show for 3 hours, or two, or whatever it is. And furthermore, staff it with, I think he's got 30 people on that show. All those people on those big shows, on the, you know, the big BBC stations, they got, they must have like 10 people. How many have you got on commercial radio? If you're doing a music show, which all of these people are, which is crazy to me, you'll have you. That's it. And the BBC, they got like a runner and a producer, and what does the producer do on a music show? I mean, it all comes up on a computer anyway. You just press the button and mark next. And go, hey! And that's it. £10,000. Thanks a lot. The reason that they pay them that much money is not because they can, it's because it flatters the people who are signing up the contracts. It makes them feel important. They're hiring people on £10,000 a show. How great would that make you feel to be writing that cheque, knowing that it's not your money? It flatters the management. That's why they give them that much money. They're not wresting the talent away from commercial radio, because at that price, they don't want it. Who would? That's insane. You'd never make your money back. So that's the bald facts there, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reason why they're giving these people all of your money. Is because it makes them feel good to do it.
LBC 97.3 0870 90 90 973. Nick Abbott.
And, there's worse to come, I'm afraid to tell you. Let's leave the BBC alone for a while, and we'll talk about something else. But it just gets worse. I read something in the paper today about what's coming up on your friendly BBC station. You won't believe it. I'm telling you, it's stunning. I just laughed out loud. It's incredible. Anyway, let's go with, let's fly Mandy. Hey, Mandy.
Hi, Nick.
Mandy.
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you?
You always make me laugh. I'm fine, thank you.
What's up, Mandy?
This will make you laugh. Big time.
I'll be the judge of that.
It will. I was working the other day, doing my job.
Right. Not funny so far.
No. Wait a minute. And you know when people ring in, there's like a carousel of women that go round and they listen to the woman they want to talk to.
I'm sorry, what?
What? You know what I do.
Oh, right. Okay, yes. Right. Well, I'm back up to speed now. Right. Right, you are... Well, we have to explain it. It's not like we're... It's not like you're calling me at home. There are people out there. You work as
a
chat line operator. Right. Gentlemen who are bored.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if you're hanging around in your flat, you're bored stiff.
Yeah.
And you, call people like you up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they listen to the voices, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And this call came through to me last weekend. And this guy said, hi, because my name's Lucy on there. Is that Lucy? I said, yeah. Who's that? And I can't remember his name, and that's the truth. And he's chatting about a minute, and then he said, can I ask you something? I said, yeah.
He wasn't called John, was he?
I can't remember.
Right.
He said, can I ask you something? I said, yeah. He said, is that Mandy?
No. Oh, no.
I said, is that a friend of mine? Who's that? Who's this? He said, do you speak to Nick Abbott on LBC?
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you. I said, yeah. He said, and did Richard Hakia sing Mandy for you on Clive Ball? I said, yeah.
Who's Richard Hakia?
He does the treble on Clive Ball.
Oh, him. He's great.
He's great. He sang Mandy. It was fantastic. And he said, I kept hearing your voice come round and I just knew it was you. And so I spoke to him for about...
So how does this work? You're on the phone and like various women come round and...
You choose one. The voice you like.
Really?
And they're three.
Well, so you get a little clip of each person.
No, I've never rung in.
And it comes around on it's like, like a sushi bar.
Yeah, like a carousel, yeah.
Right. And you just,
But you can pick a...
Pick the one you like and pop it in your ear.
Yeah, if they're not on the phone or talking to someone. I don't know how it works. I should ring in, really, and see, but I don't know. I'm not spending that kind of money to ring in. That's not stupid.
Especially to talk to yourself, which would get really confusing after a while. How would you do it?
But he said to me, I've heard you talking with Nick Abbott about it. I said, yeah. He said, he really was interested, wasn't he? I said, yeah. We thought it was very funny.
And I guess that was the end of that...
No, I spoke to him for about 40 minutes.
Oh, right.
It was a good call. Good money.
For who?
For me.
Oh, him. No, or you.
Me.
Right. How did he feel about it?
He didn't get sexual at all.
No, okay. It was just a chat.
He lived in Bromley in Kent.
What was the address?
In Bromley. Hmm?
And the address was?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
But well, give us his phone number. We'll have a chat with him now.
He didn't give it to me.
Was it?
But I said, I was going to repeat the story so that he'd come through to me. And I said, what's your name? He said, I'm not telling you now.
Well, I think not. That's got to be rule number one. You don't ask them what their names are.
But they don't tell you the truth anyway.
But neither do you tell them. Lucy.
Yes,
do you like that she picked your name?
It's my stage name.
Because we've got a Lucy right here. Lucy's our producer.
I know. I think there's a few Lucys on the line, to be honest, where I work.
And how many, I'm fascinated by this. So you call up and you get clips.
Well, you hear, I told you, all the different topics, if they're into whatever they're
into. So it's not the voice that they're picking, it's the,
topic and the voice.
Right. The subject matter.
Yeah.
At hand.
Yeah, but there might be 30 girls talking about that subject matter. So they go by what you say and...
So you're in competition now, because you only get paid when you're chatting, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you have to... Right, so it's a competition to have the sexiest voice.
Yeah, but I do have a good voice.
You certainly do, yeah, there's no question about
that. Because they use me also for voiceovers. I do some of the voiceovers for them.
Okay, and how does that sound?
I don't know. Never heard those either.
Well, let's...
I get paid well for it.
Let's find out. So you say things like... Without getting too graphic?
They're in the other room, I could read them. There are some I couldn't read you. But things like, if you want to... Because they also play erotic stories. If you want to listen to this next story, press button one. If not, press button two.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
Little Red Riding Hood. Do you do that one?
Yeah, well, not quite. Nor Debbie Does Dallas. Nothing like that. No, they're erotic.
Do you do erotic versions of ordinary stories? Like they have porn versions of the movies, like Shaving Ryan's Privates, things like that?
I've never heard of that. No, but if I were to write a story, which I'm not capable of, I'd get, and record it for them, I'd get good money for that. But I just can't.
Now, when you say good money, do you mean BBC money? Or
I don't know. What's BBC money?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Massive, a thousand, probably a grand a word, something like that.
No, it wouldn't be that money. They pay you by the A4 page. If you do, I don't know, because I haven't written one, because, yes, I can write, and I have actually written, when I first started doing this, ages ago, I wrote one about chat line operators, which is very funny.
Well, here's all you do, you tape yourself on one of these calls.
Yeah.
And then just write that up.
Well, that's not so erotic.
Because if people are paying to hear you speak at them, in an erotic manner, then that's an erotic conversation right there. Job done. Easy. You'd be knocking them out.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes. But, how do I tape it?
You're unsure. Tape it. Well, you only need to tape your end of the conversation. Presumably they're not joining in. They're not adding to the eroticism of the call.
They only want to hear my voice, though.
Right, so get one of those little dictaphones. Hey, how appropriate is that?
I won't say what I'm supposed to say. Yeah. You want me to say it?
No,
you?
I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I've got a dictaphone, actually.
I bet you do.
Well, not the dictaphone, I've got the playback bit, not the bit you're talking to, which doesn't help, does it?
Well, it sounds like you need to go down to Dixon's. Oh, too late, they're shut. Or is it Curry's? Which one's shut? They'll probably all be shut soon. Everything's being done over the net, including you, shortly.
Yeah.
And when I say done, I don't mean... Never mind. Anyway, listen, Mandy, we've got to go because, you know, the new news is up.
Well, it's lovely to talk to you.
Absolutely. Hey, it was Mandy.
You take care.
Cheers, dear. Available on DAB Digital Radio. London, LBC 97.3.